I believe that the more people know and understand their purpose in life, the less anxiety, stress, and depression they will experience. And so I help anxious women and men rebuild lost confidence and transform from frustrated and stuck to clear and confident in their life purpose. Through the powerful conversations on this podcast, you will be reminded of the power you truly possess to bring even your greatest dreams to life. This is about more than just building confidence. This is about remembering who you are and why you're here. This is the Confidence Academy podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. You are listening to the Confidence Academy podcast with Lily Badcock. And today I am joined by the wonderful Cornelia Helga Schultz, all the way from Germany. And Cornelia is a medium and a coach, and we're going to be talking all about her work, helping people to wake up to their true purpose, which I'm so excited about. Cornelia, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Lily. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy and I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. We've already been having a conversation about how much we love Jason Momoa, so I know we're going to get on really well.
Yes, we will.
We have a joint love of Aquaman. Anyone listening is going to feel like that's become a theme because it's been coming up quite a lot recently. So anyway, anyone listening, if you feel us on that, if you love Jason Momoa, I need you to let me know. So get in touch and let us know. But Cornelia, welcome to the show. It's so lovely to have you here. To get started, could you let everybody know what it means to be a medium and a coach? What does your work entail?
Yes, sometimes I don't know this myself so well, because this is such a vast thing to explain, but yeah. I'll break it down in 3 points. So I am a medium, and that means I can get information from the universe, and I can also connect to angels or the world, for example. I did a energy forecast channeling last year in several episodes, for example. I can get any information out of your body, your organs, your spine, for example. And I'm also a medium to contact the beloved in the hereafter, which is not every medium's calling, but I have a really special calling. My teacher said to me, this is written down in my Akashic record. And so, yeah, I can get any information, but the question always is, do I have the right question?
Right, yeah. And do you know what I love about this straight away? Because everybody listening, you guys don't have a visual, you're only getting audio. What I love about this is, as Cornelia is saying this, on her face, she's just like, I can do all this cool stuff and I don't even know how half of it works. And I just think that is such how it is. That's how I feel as well. And whenever anybody gets on a call with me and I say, right, well, I can intuitively guide you to your soul purpose. I have no idea why I can do that. I have no idea how I can do that, but I know I can do that. And I love that from your face, I can tell that that's how you feel. You're just sat here going, wow, like this is just coming through me, like enjoy the ride. It's just amazing. Have you always known you could do that, or has it been something that you've developed over time?
No, I didn't know that for most of my life. It came up after a Reiki initiation, and suddenly all my channels, which I did not know that I have, yeah, open up. And I was the one in that Reiki practicing group that saw pictures and heard voices, and the others were only feeling a hot feeling in their hands. And then they decided that I must be wrong to have this, because this is not normal.
If yeah,
9 people out of 10 don't have it, so
yeah.
The one, she's the wrong one. Then I was really not so sure if that is for true. Maybe I made that up. And then I had really, really problems with my back those days. That's why I got the Reiki initiation in the first place. And then I was going to a physiotherapist, and she was a medium too, but I didn't know that. And she told me, yeah, you have a task to fulfill. You have to guide souls into the light. And then I sat there. I was there because of my back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what? And then my answer was not, oh, no, or something like that. I said, how do I do this?
Yeah.
And afterwards, I thought, oh, wow, why am I asking this? Do I want
That's
to do
so
this?
Funny. Yes. I only came from it back. I thought you'd give me a tennis ball and a few stretches. Not yeah. this.
Yeah, really. I went there because she did a certain method only she did in the whole big city of Berlin where I come from. Mm-hmm. And then she told me that, and I was really overwhelmed with that. And I asked a friend of whom I knew about Reiki if she knew what to do with that. And then she said, yes, oh, you go there. There's a woman who does chakra clearing and something. Maybe she knows. And then it turned out that she was a medium too. I was surrounded by mediums.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, she could read my Akashic record. And she found out that I have this calling to be a medium, and especially the medium for the hereafter. And that's how I got to this. And then I really learned how to do this, to contact the beloved in the hereafter, because, you know, it's like in normal life, everyone can speak, but good and efficient communication is something different. And I learned this, and it turned out that I can not only contact the hereafter, I can contact and connect to anything or everything. And so I did not know this until I was 35 or so. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time. But in Germany these days, this was normal age to wake up, to have your awakening. Mid 30, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a little later.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy that the girls and boys are so much earlier with us, because the world really needs more people who do energy work and light work. And there's so many problems to solve, and we need to be more of us.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you feel, but I really feel like there've been a couple of mass awakenings. I feel like there was one a couple of years ago in 2018, and I feel like there was another one last year, and it's ongoing now into this year, because, you know, all of a sudden people were flung into a different reality, and they suddenly didn't have to go and do what they'd always been doing. They were given the gift of time. They were given the gift of reflection. They were given the gift of seeing what life would be like when they're not just doing the same old thing over and over. And, you know, I mean, yeah, for a lot of people, it's been devastating. And for a lot of people, it's been a very frightening time, and continues to be a very frightening time. But also for a lot of people, it's been such an awakening for them, where they, like, even at the basic level, I think people have learned how strong they truly are. You know, they've realized that, all right, they don't like that they can't see their friends and family, and it's not something they would choose, but they've just survived 12 months of something that they probably thought they could never survive. And even that is a huge awakening. And then beyond that, you've got people going, wait a minute, I've just been an accountant for 25 years, and all of a sudden I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I've just realized I don't have to do that anymore. And people are actually, you know, I think for a lot of people, the pandemic naturally guided them back to their source of joy, which I believe is a direct route to purpose. I think it's all connected. And so I think that's why so many people, first of all, they were like, well, I'm just going to be sat at home, so I'm going to listen to that music that I love. I'm going to play that sport that I love. I'm just going to, you know, watch the movies that I love, people are reconnecting to what they enjoy. And I think that's what we'd lost, the art of that, because we were so busy running through life, trying to do the job, make the money, have the family, and like, and tick all the boxes, that people had forgotten how to just feel joyful. And that's why I see it as an enormous gift. And I'm hesitant to say that, because I know that with it has come a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of fear. But I actually, as with any challenge, I believe that good will come from it. And there will be a time where we will look back and realize this was the time that we were made. And the other thing I wanted to say about what you shared is, I love that you have already walked this path, because it's people like you now who are, you're doing the same work that I feel called to do. It's like we've just walked that path, which was rocky as hell, and we didn't know what we were doing. But now we're reaching out a hand and saying, look, it's okay. You're actually not insane. You're not mad if you feel that you're supposed to do this, or if you can hear that or whatever. Like, that's something to pay attention to. It's something you are called to do, and you can trust it. I think that's so powerful.
Yeah, in the meantime, I really love it, and I cannot imagine living a normal life.
Right. Anymore. Yeah, so. You just would never want to go back to it. And I think that's why it's called waking up, isn't it? Because I think, I mean, I've used this analogy before, but you know, when you wake up in the morning, before you're fully awake, you get all your senses back. Like if someone was cooking, you would smell it. And if somebody's making a noise outside, you hear it even before you're fully awake. And that's what I think people have gone through these past couple of years. It's, they've just had that inkling, and they're mostly still asleep, but something has sparked that interest now. Something in their heart has gone, nah, you're supposed to do this. So even if they've tried to suppress it or push it down or ignore it, it kind of, it's like a little tapping at first, and then it becomes knocking and a banging. And in the end, it's so loud that you can't ignore it. I'm so interested in this. I'm interested as well, because I had an astrology reading last year, and it wasn't Akashic Records, but it was an astrology chart. And I was told a similar thing, that I had a very strong, I don't know what the words are because I'm not an astrologer, but they talk about houses, don't they? And they said that one of my houses, was it my spiritual house or something? Like, they were like, you have a lot of spiritual gifts and you haven't even scratched the surface yet. Like, you don't even know what it is you can do. And I was like, oh, it's so exciting to me. And I really feel that, because I feel like I've really grown into my intuition in the last couple of years. I've had a couple of cool experiences. Like, I did hear voices one time, and it was nothing I could pick out, but it woke me up in the night. And when I looked at my phone, it was 111. And at that point, I didn't know anything about angel numbers. Cornelia's grinning from ear to ear because she knows. But it was weird, because at the time, I knew nothing about angel numbers, but something told me, this is significant, you need to take a screenshot of your phone. So I screenshot the phone, went back to sleep, whatever. And here's the funny thing, I've just got goosebumps all over. I'd gone to bed with worry in my heart. I was worried that I didn't have enough money. I was worried that there wasn't enough time. I was just worried that there was not enough of anything, really. And so I had that weird experience. I thought I heard voices. When I woke up, there was nothing there. Saw the time on my phone, screenshot it, woke up the next day, and I woke up hearing the words, there's always enough, there's always more than enough, over and over and over again. And it felt so significant that I wrote it down and I stuck it to my ceiling, and it's still there now. Because I was like, anytime I worry now that I don't have enough time or I don't have enough money or I don't have enough resources, I'm going to remind myself that there's always more than enough, because it felt like a message was coming from somewhere else. And the really cool part to that story was, I then looked up what 111 means and started to learn about angel numbers. And that day, me and my husband were going to a spa, which is unheard of. We don't do that much anyway. We'd got there, our appointment was at 11 o'clock. They gave me locker number 11. Like, there were just all day. It was like, you're going to get this message. I was like, wow. And the weird thing was, it wasn't the same day, but I think it was either the next day or the day after. And I went to, it's a place called The Range. It's like a big I don't know, like a hardware store, but it's huge. And I was going up this escalator with the trolley, and I had my little boy in the trolley. And as we got to the top, he started to climb out and I panicked. So I was trying to push him back in the trolley.
Oh my God, I know,
because we were at the top as well. I was like, oh my God. As I pushed with my leg, I was trying to get the trolley up and off this escalator, and it scratched my leg. And when I looked down, it had scratched three lines, like triple one, into my leg. I was like, this is so weird.
Physical science.
Just one of many, many cool things that have happened since then. But I think you're right. I think more people are needed, but I also think more people are realizing that they do have something. And it might be that they've had these experiences and they've always been afraid of them and they've tried to suppress them. I'm interested to know, as a medium, so as someone that can read that energy, and it's so cool that you're tapped into all the energy of everything, is that something that is like noisy and exhausting for you, or have you learned to kind of dial in and dial back out again? Like, as I'm talking, are you sat there going, oh my God, I can see da 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 da, and I can hear blah 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 blah, or do you just shut that down until you're ready to receive it?
I can really dial in and dial out. I learned that, because it's so exhausting to be open all the time. I live in Berlin, and this is not so big for a capital. It's 3,400,000 people. But when I go by bus and then I have all the information of all the people around me, and no, I don't want this. This is
right
information.
Yeah.
And so I found a method for me. But I know a lot of mediums who are so proud of having input and download all the time. Mm. And then next time it says, oh, it's so overwhelming, I feel burnout. But this is something inside of them. I overthink. They need to feel needed or something. And
yeah.
I officially know I am a medium, I can do this, and for me that's enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not always happy with what I get. This could sometimes be more or better or whatnot, and I'm really at a high level to criticize myself. To do this all the time and to wait for signs in my apartment. I've been in a training group with 30 other people only in Berlin. And then, yes, I walk down the hallway, and then I see the candlelight flickering, and I thought, yeah, okay. This is the part other people sometimes don't understand when they hear me, because they think, oh yeah, that's such a nice gift, why don't you use it all the time?
Yeah.
But other people, they work 8 hours a day, and I want to have this too. So
right, yeah, you need downtime
for recreation and everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
in the beginning, of course, yeah, the first 2 years, sometimes it's 4 years, everything is so exciting and you want to try out and find out more, and so, and then it's your hobby, and maybe then it turns into your work. And when you mix up your hobbies with your work, then so much time is gone, and okay, it's nice time and you love it, but you need time for recreation anyway.
Of course. Yeah, no, I resonate with that. Obviously, I'm a singer, and that's how it was for me. Singing was my hobby to begin with, and then it became, I always say it was my hobby, then it became my jobby. but I think that's how burnout can happen, isn't it? Because it's, you know, lots of people get burnt out doing jobs they don't enjoy, and that's why it burns them out. But actually, I think it's very common for people to burn out when they find a job they love, because they love it. So you don't know when to stop, because you genuinely do want to do it all the time, and you genuinely like would do it for free. Like, you would just genuinely do it because it fills your soul. But of course, we know that you need the downtime, you need to be able to reset your energy, and you do need that space to recover, even when it's something that you love to do. My mind is blown a little bit right now that this is the conversation, because I do a couple of podcast interviews on a Wednesday, which is what today is. And I interviewed somebody this morning. And when you look at your two profiles, you're very, very different. But actually, the conversation has come to the same point. And probably the way that these episodes are going to roll out, hers will have been the one that came out the week before yours. So it's very cool that there's a thread. And she was sharing about people who are empaths. So she works with highly sensitive people, and helps them with exactly that. So my question is, I'm wondering whether potentially, because you said, well, we need more light workers in the world. And I'm just thinking, if there's anybody listening who's interested in this, then this might resonate with them. I wonder if, as somebody with those kind of gifts, who is then going to go on to do work similar to yours, is it possible that in the beginning, it's not that you hear voices necessarily or see images, but that you absorb that energy of everything? Because it seems to me like it's a very similar thing. You know, like you said, when you're on a bus, you want to be able to switch that off. And the conversation I was having earlier was about people that are very empathetic and open to the energies of everybody around them. Is that an early sign that you might have one of those gifts, or are the two things completely separate?
Yes, it could be a sign. Yeah, of course. So you have abilities to, and then as an empath, you get the feelings, the emotions, and you embody them. So you get information that's officially not yours.
Yeah. Right. So,
and that is a spiritual process. This is mediumship itself. So it's not only getting the thoughts of someone or so, that's the same thing, but it starts like that you are more aware of what surrounds you in different ways. And I can hear that, and this is something I did not choose. This is not consciously, but one day before I was born, I chose this.
Yeah.
And I can also see images or so if they are given to me, but I know other people who mostly see images, and this is sometimes very nice and sometimes very confusing. Remember a painting, an art painting, and then you have three people and four explanations.
Right. Yeah.
Even with the words I hear, it can be difficult to give them in the right way. Like you pronounce something and then there's a different meaning in it. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah, I try to figure out how I can protect myself, and there's a lot of protection you can do, but sometimes there are protection measurements that do not do the trick to you because you work differently. This is always the point where it's good to seek for help, for information. What else is there? Like you had your chart. You think, okay, I'm an empath, but maybe I am so many more things, and then you can align it when you know all this.
This
year, as last year brought up so many people with their spirituality, I started a program which I call the Light Leader You, where I accompany light workers or energy workers to become a light leader, someone enhanced who is then able to train others again and to invent methods. And because there's so many different problems, and when you think we have one method or two for something, or what do I do with the reading? You need to process it. What do I do with the information? And Yeah, and so many light workers found out last year they were a little bit stuck, and imposter syndrome was very, very high at stake when people think, oh, I cannot do it, I just fake it.
Yeah.
So, and this is it, most of the time I hear this, I think, no, you're not an imposter. This is only whatnot. Yeah, whatever I get then. Yeah, but as long as they don't ask me, I will not impose and say, oh yeah, you suffer from this and that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you absolutely need my advice.
Yeah.
Which in fact is true, but they find me on their own.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think especially with the light work, you know, and anything energetic, it really is that. We lost connection, but as I said, I do think that energy can do that. I seem to mess with machinery quite a lot. I always say it's just my energy. I just mess it up. So I'm glad we got you back anyway. I have no idea where we were in the conversation, but it doesn't matter. We're just going to pick up from wherever we can. So I know that we were talking about discovering the gifts and how it can initially feel like not necessarily hearing voices or seeing images, but definitely just picking up that energy. And talking about the fact that that is something, it's like anything, isn't it? It's something that you you learn to harness the power of it. Like even when it's a God-given gift, you still need to harness the power of it. You get to choose your energetic boundaries. You get to choose even whether you do it, because I imagine for some people it's quite a frightening thing. I know I've heard people before talking about, you know, they used to see things when they were a kid or whatever, and then it just got too scary, so they just blocked it out and shut it down. So
yeah, that's what I did as a kid.
Right.
I heard that I have been a medium, especially for the year after, with my birth, and that we found out I blocked it at the age of 6 or 7, so around where I met my great grandfather, who came to visit me after his funeral.
Wow. And
then little Cornelia decided, I don't want this anymore. And I really blocked it for almost 30 years, very effectively.
Wow. So what do you think it was? What changed for you that made it not scary anymore? Do you feel like it was that your calling got so big that even though it was still scary, you could feel that it was something you had to do?
I knew I had to do it, and it was so scary at the beginning because I could feel the dead people. It was like the sixth sense. Yeah, I see dead people, but I saw them and I felt them. Mm. And every time they tried to get in contact with me or maybe touch me or so, it felt like someone hitting me with a baseball club.
Wow.
So, and when I went on my bike on the streets and something happens like that, and I was so angry because I said there's no need in causing death, so I cannot help you anymore.
Right, yeah, you need to chill.
they do not understand, and of course I could not explain to them, because some of the deceased, they have these powers, they can move things, and others they don't, and this is the majority. Yeah, but it's more interesting to make the movies out of the other ones, so everyone can move things. Yeah,
but, right, I see, yeah.
So they did not understand what I meant, that they were hitting me off my bike in the middle of the street. And I was really scared. So many things happened. And I really, I tried to get out of this. Really, I never do this anymore.
So yes, I'm out.
I had this many, many times years after where I don't want this anymore. I want other conditions or something. And I'm shouting and pouting and nothing really helped.
Yeah.
And I was almost giving my business up for at least 4, 5, 6, 7 times or so.
Yeah.
Because it was unpredictable what came out, and I couldn't really manage it. And this is something, yes, you can learn, and there are always other things in your energy field. It's not only the aura, what we call, there's more the energy field, there's all the karmic information, past lives in it. Then you find out, okay, I have this blockage here or that loss of control because of something in my childhood or even in a past life and so on. And you have to work on this if you want to feel better. Once you have discovered your spiritual gifts, you cannot give them away anymore.
This is the problem.
Yeah. You cannot say, okay, I want to return a Mercedes or something.
That's it. Yeah, no, I'll just do something else. I'll just go and work in Tesco or something. Yes,
something like that.
I'll change my mind. That's kind of what I meant though when I said, like, we call it waking up, because that's the same thing, isn't it? Like, it's happened so many times to me where something's woken me up and you're not ready to wake up yet. You're tired. So you desperately try and squint your eyes shut and you try and get back into your dream, but you're awake, you're conscious. And I think that's exactly how it feels. That's why I use that analogy all that time, because once you know, you know. It's like, that's how I feel about my purpose calling. I remember the moment I realized that I couldn't give this up even if I wanted to. And it was like, oh my God, like, this is it. This is my life's work. I will never not do this. And it was sort of exciting and comforting and totally overwhelming all in one go, because it was like, also I'm someone who's actually pretty flaky. Like, I would quit a million things normally. So it's very cool that I've now got this thing that it's like, it will change. It will morph and change how it looks, but what lies at the core of it will never change. And it will always be something that it's always been something I've done, and it will always be something I do. And this is what I teach people when they're trying to find their own purpose. I'm like, for a start, you don't have to find it because you're already doing it. You probably just didn't know. A lot of people, I think, like me, they take it for granted because they didn't consciously make a plan to do that thing. It feels like, oh, I just fell into that by accident. Yes, exactly. It was no accident though. Like, that's what you're here for. It's your entire reason for living. Like, no biggie, you know? Yeah. Oh my God, I've got so many questions about this. I've never met a medium that I could chat to. So, like, this podcast interview is gonna, like, we're gonna go till midnight, peeps. Like, get a comfy seat. I'm just gonna say, Cornelia's like, oh crap, what have I signed up for? No, I promise I will let you leave soon. But one question I've always wondered, and I'm sure other people wonder it too, is like, what's the deal? First of all, why are we so afraid to connect? Because, for example, I lost one of my best friends last year, and I got signs from her almost immediately, like literally within an hour of finding out she passed. Yeah. I got some really big signs, and I actually had an energetic conversation with her straight away where I was like, all right, that's okay, but if you try and appear to me, like, I'm not ready for that yet. Like, don't go appearing at the foot of my bed. That's going to give me an actual heart attack. Like, I'm good with just, you know, like a falling feather or like the odd sort of sign that I know you're there. Like, I'm good. But why is it so frightening? Because she was one of my best friends. Why is it so frightening? But just because somebody's died, to then see that person or hear that person or have a message from that person, why do you think that is?
Sometimes we think, this is my theory, that they know everything right now. So then they know all your flaws. You never were talking about.
They see
about.
You on the toilet.
We assume that they know all the bad thoughts we had about them, because you never are 100% in harmony with anybody.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Then we always think they know everything. And then another thing is that some people have when they come to me, that they think, okay, now she's calling me. Yeah, so I have to die. when she appears, then I'm gonna die the next week or so, maybe the day after.
Yeah,
this is another big fear. Then I have other clients, they don't want to disturb the souls there, even they want signs or something, but they don't want to disturb them. And they don't know if this is the right time or if they're allowed to ask or so. But when we do contact like this, this is like a normal talk, at least when you do this with me. So there are different methods you can even do that. So there's a method for everyone, I would say. And if the other one does not want to answer, he doesn't.
Right. Yeah. But, like ignoring your mobile if somebody rings, like don't want to talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this. And they never lie, but they leave out things. So it's like here. Yeah. You say, okay. Yeah. Tell only the 10% that are convenient and the other 90% you leave out because this would cause a little bit of stress or so. Yeah. So if this was a critical situation, but usually this is really nice and brings so much clarity. And that's the same thing when we talk with spirit guides or angels. There's so much help and guidance and so much love for us, which now is really pure love and not overshadowed with, oh, we have to meet again or something.
I really felt that, actually. I really felt that when my friend died. It honestly felt like my human missed her human and my human misses her human. I miss that I can't just pick up the phone to her and, you know, all the normal stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt so close to her on a completely different level. And that's it just it. Felt like, it's like when you first meet somebody. And then it's like the first time, I don't know, the first time you fart in front of them or the first time that they see you sat on the toilet or whatever, like, then you're like, oh, now our friendship's gone to another level. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's levels of friendships. And it felt like just another level of friendship. And it's the same reason, I think, why true friends, you can go months without speaking. And then when you pick up the phone, it's like you just spoke yesterday, you know, because time, it actually isn't a thing, is it? It's an illusion. And so that's what I think that is. Oh my god, I just find this so fascinating. I've got another question. Yeah. When they pass over, is there ever a point where you can't connect with them anymore? Because you hear about people going into the light, you hear that if somebody sees a ghost or gets one of those experiences, that it means the soul is trapped and that they need to move on. So does there ever come a point where you lose connection with that person? Is it like a peace thing? Are people contacting you because they've got unresolved business, or are they just floating around in some beautiful paradise somewhere and we can dial in at any point?
Paradise, a nice word for that. I never had that. You can always reach them. There's a theory which I learned that, and this is connected to something we call now the cloud. So there's in the universe above us or around us or wherever you see this, there is the big soul, I call it, the 100% of you, your very essence, all the information, your past and your past lives and before you came to Earth or something, if you are a starseed. And what we send down to planet Earth in the incarnation is never 100%. This is only a part of it, the part that it needed to make the experiences the soul wants to make in this life. And when the body is left, so the, say, 80% or what, they go back into the big cloud. And there you can reach the people all the time, and you will always get this one, not the other incarnation, but this one, you know.
Right, right.
shadows and all the shades, or so all the layers of them, you know. And so they cannot remember most of the time the moment of death. And then there are so many questions. How did she die? Was that, or describe the death? And so, and then the deceased soul says, oh yeah, it was nice, or so. And he's, oh no, it was nice, you suffered so much. And I say, you're dying, it's not death, there's a difference. When you die, you you have your body, and when you're death, then the body is no more there, and then you don't have any problems with your body anymore. And of course, your friendships, they can exist longer. They can, even when you're married or so, then you have your companion on the other side. He has no body anymore. That is a pity. There's still the one you loved and you married. And they come very often right after their death with signs to give a proper goodbye, in my experience, to say, okay, I'm here, I have enough power, I think of you, and please don't worry about me, look after you, or so.
That's really how it felt. That is really how it felt. It was like I'm still here, it's just, it's different now, you know. Oh my God, two questions popped in while you were talking, and they feel like enormous questions, and you may not have the answers. So, like, don't worry.
Let's
if it's like, dude, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think about this stuff all the time. So you're just getting it all unleashed upon you. One of my questions is, why do you think we, like, why do our souls choose to have a human experience? What's the, like, why? Why do we choose to come down here? And in some cases, multiple times, have you ever had any kind of sign of why that might be? Do you, I mean, I know that's an enormous, like, universal question, but what's your take on that? Why do you think that we come for these experiences?
As a matter of fact, I was thinking a lot about this, because I had a lot of past lives, really a lot. Thousands. Thousands or so, but many, and this is, and I know a lot of them. I experience a lot of them right now. So, and then I think, why do I come back again? And always there are problems or so. There's no life I had with only sunshine and palms and vanilla ice cream or so. There was always so many problems to solve, so many work to do. And I had so many spiritual lives where, you can imagine, in former times, I almost all the time was killed in one way or another. And I thought, why the heck do I come back again? And I think, once I decided I want to come to planet Earth to help here out, and this is it. And then you think, sometimes you make a list. Okay, I want to make 100 experiences. I give it 100 tries or so. And then you come back, and it is like this. We always are of help on planet Earth. We help other souls to fulfill their experiences. The moment we do something good and someone needs it, there is it. But it's the same when we do something bad, then there is another soul who wanted to experience something bad, and it needs the bad guy as a player. So even in the bad things, there are good intentions. It does not feel like that at the moment. But it always takes two to tango. We don't do something and the other did not somehow want to make that experience. And I lot myself, and I cannot blame someone else in the end. Of course I do. I'm a human. I'm angry.
Yeah, of course.
But in the end, I know, okay, this all had a sense. And I guess that's why we come so often. And I also think that we are so many light workers right now, because now the main things to keep us alive, clear water for everyone or almost everyone, and enough to eat, and not only to survive in a jungle or somewhere. Okay, the pandemic diseases, we have one right now, but in former times this was much worse, and people died so fast. Now there's almost everything is settled, and then we can come here and clear our past and clear the past of the world, and therefore energy work, or even if you don't really love the work, energy work or light workers, so even to clear your own past and forgiving someone or so, this does the world, makes the world a better place. This lifts the vibration of a person and in the end of the planet. And this is what is needed.
Yeah, I love that. And that, so much of what you just said feels like truth, that it feels like, I think that's what I think too. I was just really interested to know like what you thought of that. I'm also interested to know, when it comes to dying, is that something, is it something that is like predetermined? Like, is that, do we come with a shelf life, or is it more a case of you've got a bunch of things you have to complete, so when you've done it, then you go, which is why some people go sooner than others and others like stay here forever. Like, what's your take on that?
I would say that before we find our body for the incarnation, we make a plan, and then we really, we fix the date for our death. And then, of course, we have that big list, the experiences we want to do. And I can only tell to all the souls around us now without a body, please change the nice things. Leave out the rest. Leave out this illness and poverty and whatnot.
That's so funny. Choose a better experience.
We always think, oh, it could be boring on earth, or maybe I want to have pain for, oh, I'm really serious, so I want to make a good experience. No, 3 hours of pain is not enough, or 3 weeks or so. I take 30 years.
This
sounds a proper experience. So this is okay, but this is not good.
So funny. I have a question.
They cannot feel time. And so when then we come down here, then we forget all our universal knowledge and wisdom. It's all gone after we pass the birth channel.
and then we're like, what the hell?
We do some experiences, and then no matter if we made them all or not, the day of our death comes. And so when they are serious souls, they say, okay, I didn't make it in that life. I want to do it again the next life, or maybe the life after or so. And then you have to experience again and again and again, because you did not finish, you were not ready with that, or so you were not happy with the outcome.
I
do a lot of past life regressions with my spiritual clients there to find out where their gifts come from or where blockages come from. And we find out so many times that they re-experienced one of these blockages again and again because they were not happy with the outcome, or not content, or did not understand. And so they say, I want to have it again.
So a massive question. a massive question that's coming to me now then,
yeah,
is do you therefore think that it's possible, I know it doesn't always happen, but do you think it's possible for a human being to get back their universal knowledge to a point where they can then say, actually, I don't want this pain anymore. I choose out of this experience. I've changed my mind. Is it possible to do that as a human, or do we have to like go and reset and then try again when we come back?
I would never say no. I don't know anyone. But,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm far from that, but why not? Really, yeah. This is the usual question I have. It's why not?
So yeah, yeah.
And people ask me, will I become happy or will I get rid of this someday? And the first question I always have is, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. I cannot tell people the day they die or so. This is not what I get access to. But there are so many things possible. And even when you do work like me as a channel medium, there are a lot of channel mediums, then you give that universal knowledge away, or to find find your path, for example. And yeah, there's so many things I told my clients or my colleagues, and then years later I found out, oh, there's a book on this. I never knew. Then what I told you with it takes two to tango, the two souls, one has to commit, and so. And there's a book of Neil Donald Walsh on this, and with the little soul and the sun, or so it's in is in English. And I heard that someone read that to me in a workshop, so I thought, I know this. This is what I tell everybody.
Wow!
Oh, someone wrote a book on this. This is perfect. So okay, now yeah. I have proof.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that. Do you know what? As I was asking that question, I got reminded of this episode of Star Trek, of all things, that my husband was watching the other day. And it was a bit like a Groundhog Day episode where the character was having their experience and then they were killed and then they were put back into the same thing. And every time they came back, they remembered a bit more that of what was going on. So as the episode went on, like they were able to avoid being killed the first way, and then they got a bit further through, but then they were killed again. And it feels maybe it's a bit like that, like, you know, and this is how I feel. It's like there are some people who are more awakened than others. There are people that have ascended more than others. And it's just because maybe those people have been around the block a few times, like you have, you know, they've done like 1,000 lifetimes. So now they're back and they're like, okay, well, I kind of think I've got some vague memory of what I'm doing here. So I'm going to try and do that. And I also think, you know, on that question I just asked you, I have said this for a long time, and I often offer this as advice to people. I say that if you're having an experience that feels hard, I believe too that we have possibly chosen our experiences, and that there's a reason why we go through the things we go through. But I also believe that we're constantly being guided, that we're constantly supported, and that we are infinitely loved. And I truly believe that you can ask for an easier path. If it's really got to the point where you can't, I'm covered in goosebumps, which to me is a sign that I've nailed it. I just think you can ask for an easier path. You can be like, I would pray to my angels and say, I understand I have a lesson to learn, but can I please just have an easier path? You know? And I just think that's a beautiful practice, whether you believe in that or not. It's such a beautiful practice to even have that glimmer of hope that, oh, maybe it could be better than this, you know?
Yeah, it is possible. It's not so easy to do this, because you have to really be honest with yourself and put away all the ego. Mm-hmm. But there is a way to get out of repeating situations or so, when you find closure with the origin of it. And but this is something, yeah, some people, for them it's easy, and for me, for example, that takes a lot of work. So sometimes even having all these abilities is not not an advantage.
Not a free pass. No, so, you're still a human. You still signed up for this.
Yeah, I'm really very human. I think it's not true. I don't believe it. Why is that happening again?
Yeah.
And sometimes I know why it's happening, but I did not found the clue at that moment, the real clue. But sometimes there is really more than one thing behind a situation or a feeling, an experience, or sometimes even more than two, so really different layers of origins of one problem, and there we have to really hang in there, not to give up, but giving up on finding the origin of someone that bothers you is so easy, because these days with internet and so you see a lot of people all over the world who have the same problem, and then you think, okay, everyone has that problem, so this is common knowledge, so there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. And there's the point where I would say, no, this is not true. there is a solution. You can find your peace, and you can be in that group of people then anyway, but maybe without that urgent need, maybe for fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I'm just going to ask one final question before I let you go, but I could literally keep you on here for days. I would never get sick of having this conversation. I just think it's been amazing. Everyone listening, I would love to know what you think of this. Get in touch with your comments and your questions as well. The final question, I feel it would be responsible of me to ask this question now, is how can somebody be discerning when they are trying to find a mentor or a medium to work with? So if somebody is listening to this and they're thinking either that they want to explore their own gifts and they need a mentor, or maybe they want to connect with somebody, or they, you know, they would like that experience, how can somebody discern a medium that is truly tapped into their gifts and able to serve from their heart versus somebody who is not operating in that way? Because of course the sad reality is we live in a world where there are people who are masquerading as having gifts who may not have those gifts. So how can somebody be sure that they're working with somebody that is right for them?
You can never be sure, that's the one thing. But your soul guides you to the one you need. And if you need someone who's fake, then you need the experience of being faked or something like that. And really, you can never be sure. And your first teacher will never be the only one you have. This is so important that you have several stages of development, and there's a teacher for everyone, and there are stages you can teach yourself. You don't need a teacher all the time. It's in the contrary, I would say it's very good when you have things that you really learn by yourself. Go through a book and experience all this. I did this. I worked through a book of Diana Cooper and enhanced my chakras. And it worked. I was so astonished these days.
I love that answer. So, I think that's brilliant.
The same question I asked myself. And when I had problems, and I have really difficult spiritual problems, and so there's not everyone good for me or good for my problem. And then thanks to the internet, you have a lot of choice. And then, look at the pictures. Is that person, does she look nice or something? Let your guts.
Trust your gut. I mean, it comes down to the same thing in everything, doesn't it?
This is just like that. And but really, if you want to experience someone who is a true imposter, someone, then you will get one. And I know there's a lot of choice
Do you know what? It's, I suppose it's like any other relationship, isn't it? There are never any guarantees. You can only go with your gut, and you will always get the experience that you need, and you'll grow through it, and you'll get exactly what you needed. It just might not come in a pretty package. I love that answer. It's a very honest answer. I love that. Thank you so much. This has been like the best conversation. I've just had the most fun. Just tell everyone about the free thing that you're offering. There's a little freebie for anyone who's interested in this.
Yes, I thought, especially for your audience, I'd love to offer 10 free mini readings. So 20 minutes around that. To counter check if you're on the right path, if you want that, for example.
Yeah.
And you could claim a spot during the broadcast. You can write me, or you write to Lily, and the first 10 messages, they will get this.
Amazing. I'm going to say it's 9 because I'm having the first one.
Yes, of course.
That's the bad luck. You snooze, you lose. You guys are going to have to get on it quickly. Oh, Cornelia, thank you so much. This has been amazing. We will, of course, put all the links that we've mentioned into the show notes. So if you want to follow up on any of those, go to the show notes and click. I hope that you will go to the links and show Cornelia some love, because this has just been phenomenal. As ever, thank you so much for being here. Remember, confidence is yours as soon as you choose it. And I will be back with another amazing episode and an amazing guest next time. Cornelia, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure for me too.
I loved it. Goodbye, guys. Have a good week. We'll be back again soon.
You've been listening to Lily Badcock on the Confidence Academy podcast. Please subscribe to the show to make sure you never miss an episode. And also, why not join me over in the Permission to Soar Facebook group? The link is in the show notes, along with all of the other links mentioned in today's episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time.